So thank you, everybody. I think we have like an hour and a half, so you might want to settle in for the long haul. Yes, we are here to talk about content security, because that's obviously what the theme of the whole event is. But here we're focusing on a new workflow that's coming to the cloud, and that's editorial. The ability to, you know, not only have a hybrid scenario of where you've got content on premises that you're, you know, moving into the cloud, but, you know, ultimately the roadmap is leading us to being able to do, you know, cloud native editorial workflows. And we're going to talk about, you know, where things are today, some of the directions that things are going, and Michael from Avid is going to show you some of what's actually already functioning within the Azure environment. That's going to enable you to do all kinds of cool things. So I think you've probably heard quite a bit of this already today. You know, the level of sophistication of attacks is increasing. It's, you know, certainly not going to get any better for any of us. And as the old adage goes, you know, they only have to be right once; we have to be right all the time. You know, I think that, you know, as we look at what some of you know, the recent hacks and ransomware attacks are showing us, is that there's more to it than just the level of sophistication. It's also that, you know, the people that are getting exploited is because there's not a high enough level of preparation. Whether it's, you know, that they haven't done what they need to do to protect their networks, or they're not encrypting content, or they don't have robust processes around how they handle security, whether that's a security incident or, you know, what they're talking about this morning with, you know, doing audits, and the fact that using a compliance regime can actually prevent a breach from happening in the first place. So there's no substitute for, you know, having the controls within your environment, and whether you're doing an ISO audit or you're doing, you know, doing the CDSA or an MPAA assessment. The guidelines are there to help you, you know, avoid these kinds of incidents in the future. And it's with this in mind that we're, you know, that we're designing new systems and, you know, bringing in partners like Avid and you know, in this space in order to, you know, have that cloud future where you're better protected and your assets are better protected. And again, you know, not going to spend a lot of time talking to this because you've seen it quite a bit today. But, you know, whether it's economic gain or you know, simple destruction that the hackers are after, you have the high value assets, and you know that you have a high value asset, and that everyone wants to get those. I think you could make an argument that security processes that are in place today, in a lot of ways, aren't working. That there needs to be a different approach, and you know, we can look at that from you know, from an assumed breach perspective, where you look at the attack or the threat environment as, you know, something that is ever present and is already in your network, or, you know, to look at it from a process perspective, and what are you doing in how you operate your environment, you know, to better protect it and you know, and you know, be able to defend yourselves against you know, these guys. So one of the things that you get by moving into the cloud is that it's a transfer of risk. So instead of absolutely everything from the dirt up through the applications and the data having to be your problem, there's at least a big chunk of it, you know, all the way up through, you know, the core infrastructure that you don't have to worry about. It's not that those risks aren't there, it's that somebody else has to meet those obligations for you. So, you know, even taking a cloud agnostic approach to it, you know, most of the major cloud vendors have very rigorous, you know, protocols in place. They have rigorous systems. There's compliance regimes that all of us have to map to, whether it's ISO or SOC or PCI or federal standards or international standards. You know, you can take some level of comfort in what, you know, we as a cloud provider are doing to ensure the security of data that is within our possession. But that still leaves quite a bit that you have to do in your environments, whether it's your applications, encrypting your data, safeguarding your identity, managing your encryption and authentication infrastructure. These are still things that have to be done. Just because you're running in the cloud doesn't mean that all of the responsibility leaves your hands, but, you know, it does alleviate some of those challenges. And really, when you look at a framework like CDSA, then the elements of security and compliance, it's a virtuous cycle. They feed off each other. If you are running a secure environment, then by its very nature, it's going to be easier to be compliant with an industry mandate. And similarly, if you are running in compliance and according to best practices, just by virtue of that, you are going to be running a more secure environment. So, you know, think of these as going together, and that if you take a fundamental security approach to how you operate and how you manage content and information, then you're going to be very, very well positioned, not only against threats, but, you know, for passing audits and safeguarding your business. So, what is the cloud? We're going to walk through each one of these. So the first one is Security Center. Okay, so I won't do that. Little bit of a you know, a product plug. So Azure is made up of hundreds of different services, and you know, not all of them are seen here because there's everything that we use to operate the service itself. There's the data services and database and fabric infrastructure and software-defined networking and denial of service defenses and all the things that are behind the scenes that protect data, protect customer infrastructure. But then there's also the wide variety of services that you can either build directly to, or they are end-user services like media analytics to be able to do something like facial recognition or speech-to-text. So there's tools and environments for being able to build solutions that partners like Avid can leverage, or NextGuard, or some of the other folks that were upstairs as well, that can build on top of Azure Media Services or on top of storage and on top of the other capabilities that we provide in order to have a secure a secure workflow environment. And it's all done based on the physical infrastructure that we have in place. There is 42 what we call regions around the world that are live today. And so these are geographic areas where we have dedicated data center facilities. And these are big, sprawling campuses where a single server colo could fit two 737s nose to tail. So these are very, very big facilities with, if we maxed out one colo, you could have 25,000 server blades. We could, I think, house more than an exabyte of storage in a single colo. So the sheer volume of scale that's available to you was really, is really pretty staggering. But what does that have to do with anything? By moving production into the cloud and post-production processes, you take advantage of that scale. And as we move to the 4K world and 8K and immersive VR and HDR and who knows what's going to come into the future, the data requirements are just astonishing. And the infrastructure that you would have to build to be able to take advantage of that is going to start becoming overwhelming. Why do it? Do you want to be in the data center business? Maybe you do, but a lot of people don't. So editorial is one of those things where there's a huge amount of data moving. There's a lot of processing power involved. And cloud provides not only the secure infrastructure, but it provides the scale and the durability. And is a natural home for doing doing a workload. I think we've got the Lottie Wireless, so we'll give that a try.
We'll figure that out later. Apologies for
interrupting. No service for you.
No service for me.
And so editorial is just it's a natural fit, just because of the scale requirements and wanting to bring users to the data. And instead of having content on hard drives and shipping it from remote locations and between producers and editors and all that, why not have everything within the cloud? Because that's one place that everybody can come and access the content securely, have the tools that they're used to using, and you work on content. So that's where. That's where Avid comes in. Over to you.
That's where I come in. Hi, everyone. I assume everybody, I know a few of you know Avid. Everyone knows Avid and what we've been doing for going on 30 years, I guess. So yeah, we just announced at NAB our partnership with Microsoft as using Azure as our platform of choice for our cloud solutions. So we have this really amazing partnership with Microsoft coming together and helping us with this. It's an ongoing process. So as we start looking at our cloud-based production, you know, we have different things that everyone's trying to use depending on what they're trying to access. We have our asset management system, or you may have heard of Avid's platform. We've now rebranded that all as Media Central. So you're going to hear Media Central production management, news management, editorial management, but also going through asset management. We are currently doing video on demand and over-the-top delivery for web, mobile, and social. The nice thing about these cloud-based technologies is you're suddenly given security because it all is on the Azure platform, which is great. And all those Azure mechanisms come into play immediately. So the platform offers security also with Avid's platform and Media Central user management tools. So that's all built in, whether you're using asset management. Film production, we're currently working on POCs. Again, this is relatively new. So proof of concepts with a lot of our studios and networks to actually be able to use the Azure stack and Azure, depending on if you are on-prem or public or private cloud. Also going to news production, being able to use iNews and scripted-based control in the cloud. And then we're also developing disaster recovery. So all of this is going to be incorporated as we start merging our technology and working with Microsoft.
And Michael mentioned something that you may not be familiar with, which is Azure Stack, which is basically a rack of equipment that runs a self-contained version of Azure. So it's on-premise, it's like a private cloud, but it's running the same software foundation and same infrastructure that Azure Public does. And so it has a seamless connection to the public environment so that, you know, everything that you do on-prem can easily flow around the world to, you know, wherever the cloud is.
So looking at the Avid solutions, again, Media Central is our new platform. And depending on what people's roles are and what they're trying to do, we have a different solution for that. So just going through some of them, I'm actually going to take you into Cloud UX. That's what we were trying to hook up into. So it's basically a web interface, which lets you access cross-platform, cross-device. We're going to be on a Surface. It could be on a PC, Mac. It doesn't matter because it's using a web backend to actually log into. Again, using rights management to log into the asset tools in Media Composer, but a really great workflow whether you're working in the web, whether you're working in Media Composer or not. And soon you'll be able to actually have that Cloud UX panel inside of Media Composer. So for editorial, you'd open this up inside of Media Composer and actually be able to pull those assets in, accessing them from wherever you are. Also, we have Cloud VM. Media Composer Cloud VM, normally you're actually installing Media Composer on a laptop, on your desktop. What Cloud VM does is lets you work with Azure on a server in a data center and being able to log in so you don't actually have to load it on your system. It's actually easier to maintain, easier to deploy, and gives you that remote capability no matter where you are being to log in. Whereas Cloud Remote is more logging into a localized Media Composer and downloading a proxy and working with that. So depending on how you want to work, control, access, there are different solutions that are available.
And the Cloud VM can operate using the NVIDIA Grid technology that we have deployed in our data centers as well. So you've got GPU-based VMs based on either the M60 or K80 or the M80 and K60. I don't know, one of those is an explosive and the other's not, but depends on what you did in your childhood. And so that you're getting workstation-level performance through a browser on a VM.
Oh, there's a demo. I don't know if you wanted to hit on this. I know you mentioned Azure Stack and Azure.
This is just a very, very high-level view of the break between, you know, doing on-premise editing and having something completely air-gapped and going to an online world that's still protected. That I think we're moving out of that, you know, that thought process of, you know, to be secure, it has to be completely disconnected because you've got a cell phone, you've got a USB drive. There's so many ways to exfiltrate, confidential information out of an environment. It doesn't have to be, digital dailies. It could be
you know, your healthcare data that's stored on, you know, on somebody's server in a studio. So, you know, the concept of disconnection really doesn't help in a secure, you know, in a security discussion. But in the cloud, you can be connected, you can encrypt your connections, you can protect your data and your assets and still, you know, still do stuff, still move your business.
So, okay, we're going to go into a little demo here. So I'm going to access, I've actually VPN'd into Burlington, Massachusetts, so our headquarters for Avid. I'm in the web browser and looking at Media Central Cloud UX. So I'm going to log in using, you know, it's all user management, it's all very secure. Go in and log in. And now, basically, I'm accessing all of my media, which is on our Nexus, our next generation intelligent storage system. And all the media that's checked in is now accessible to me. I'll be able to view it. I can log it. I can create a shot list. And I'm not in an actual editor. So again, I'm using the lobby Wi-Fi. So
may or may not work.
Keep talking while that little, you know, dial is spinning. But again, the nice thing is totally secure and basically accessible anywhere. I have run this off a hotspot, you know, depending on where I'm connected. Here we go. And basically, we have this really clean interface. So the interface actually is letting me go in and access media that's on the system. We have a little directory panel on the side here. I can go into projects. All of this is checked into Interplay, or excuse me, into Media Central. As we change the name, I'm still learning the new name, obviously. So we'll take a look at some clips right here. And what we've done with this interface is actually cleaned it up where we have these little apps across the top. So right now I'm in the Browse app where I can actually go in and do a little hover scrub across media. Now, again, this media isn't on the system. It's accessing media which is in Massachusetts. I double click. It actually loads up an asset inspector. And what we also find is people like responsiveness. So as you go in and start, you know, moving stuff around, changing your layouts to access. We're now going in and taking a look at that asset, and let's see if that plays. Now, this is a slow motion clip, so don't think it's just playing slow because we're on Wi-Fi, but it's actually playing an HTML5 interface and piece of media back from Massachusetts. So again, we double click, we're in the browse, we just want to go in and take a look at that clip, and we also have metadata. So any metadata on that is part of that clip, we track whether you're in the web browser with Cloud UX or in editorial. Now going to the search app allows me to do other things. We can actually do phonetic or metadata searching on media. So we have different filters on the side here. We're seeing that currently there's 564 clips or pieces of media that is on the system that it's looking at. I can actually take a look at my different filters and say, show me all of my clips that are less than a minute long, anything that's 1 to 5 minutes. You can actually go in and look at a histogram and say, show me everything over a certain span of time. And it's actually showing me the results for that. But what's really cool is going in and saying, I want to search for a phrase. Documentary. So this is actually using phonetics. You'll see when I hover over, it's actually showing me how that word is phonetically pronounced. So if you don't know the word you're looking for, if you're trying to find something, you don't have to spell it correctly. You can spell it phonetically, and it will do its best to find it. So what's really cool is it actually is going in and doing either a phonetic and or a metadata search on that media. So imagine you know that you have somebody saying something, and Kim actually says the word documentary 5 times in that clip. It's giving me that information. I double click. It brings up that asset right here. I'll just bring the window up a little bit. And the hits tab actually shows me the relative size of that clip and where she says the word documentary. And when I double click, it takes me right to that word, right to that point. I don't know if I have audio up on this. Let's see. We can hear her say it. Come on, Kim.
Was that, did you use speech to text or was it a script?
That's actually not, this is...
documentary editor, you're creating the script.
Documentary editor. So that's not using speech to text, that's more the cognitive services that Azure is adding on with facial recognition that we will be able to do with this as well. This is actually using the phonetic indexing that we just incorporated with PhraseFind and stuff in Media Composer. So any media that's in the system is being phonetically indexed in the background to be able to see that. Yes, question?
I was wondering if it works with foreign languages.
Absolutely. We actually have, the technology will actually look at, I think, a dozen different languages as well. But again, it's phonetics, so if you can spell it phonetically, it still will do its best to find it.
And Azure Analytics also supports multiple languages.
So, thank you. I'm always speaking from the Avid side, so. So things like, if you want to look at the word Chicago, and if I hit a tab, it actually gives me a new colored pill. So I can go in and do multiple searches, XDCAM. So I want to find all of these elements, whether they are phonetic or metadata. It's going to search all of the assets and pull anything Chicago, Puck, Hawks, and or XDCAM. So what you're seeing on this clip right here, 14 and 4, is showing me that 14 times, we have Puck mentioned 7 times, Chicago 1 times. It thinks it found somebody saying XDCAM. I don't know who would say that during a hockey game. But you also have metadata because there is an XDCAM clip there. So when I double click, again, it's going to give me all of those colors actually relate to the color of the pill. You're seeing that, and you're also seeing, for metadata, any metadata information. So it's tagged with XDCAM and stuff like that. So again, just being able to do this over a web browser, over Wi-Fi, which is kind of phenomenal, is pretty incredible. Plus, you can go in, I don't know how we're doing for time.
I think we've still got an hour.
Okay, perfect. I can talk slow and long. We're going to go into every detail. Currently, there's no log app, but there will be a log app when this is released that will let you go in and add metadata tags to your assets. And you can actually set up templates. So if you're doing a television show or a movie, you can actually set it up with all of the characters and different shots or locations. And once you go in there, you can tag it. Ding, ding, ding. It's instantly tagged with metadata that can be searched through that. So being able to log and set that up is pretty phenomenal. You also have the edit app. You go over here and we can actually go in and create shot lists. So I'm going to go to my browse app right here. I'm going to browse to, you can see we can dock, and also just by performance, being able to go and move back and forth through your layouts is pretty phenomenal. So I'm going to go back to my little projects here. Let's go to I have users here. Sorry, I'm working sideways. Again, different displays giving me different things. But I could go in and create a shot list. And from that shot list, here are my users. Take a look at something I created here. And so the shot list across the bottom for your edits, again through the web browser, you can actually go in and trim assets. Again, this is pretty amazing with the web browser looking at media. If I go back to one of my projects and say I want to start pulling some other media, let's go to some basketball footage. We'll take this clip, load that into our source. And we have source and record, just like editing. From here, we can go in, mark ins and outs, and just drag that into my timeline. You can either insert or overwrite, trim. As soon as this is saved, this is an asset that can be pulled by anybody else who's on Media Central Cloud UX or in editorial. So now somebody has a nice little shot list from maybe a producer who's in London, who's now logging into a system that's here. And then the editing process, review and approval, and everything is done at this point. Plus, you can go in and do a publish. So you can publish to a playback system, or to Facebook, or Vimeo, or YouTube, for somebody who's doing review and approval, or any social media outlets. So, again, having this available to you, or...
Can a third person log into that session and view while you're doing
We're actually looking at options to do that. This isn't something that gives you that immediate access at that point. The nice thing is if you do create something. As soon as that's saved, it's available to anybody else to view, but it's not something where they could actually see that at the same time. But we do have some options coming, or some people are using TeamViewer or Slingshot or other modes to be able to do that. Yes?
So this is missing a lot of things that, that Media Composer installed does. So like if I'm doing a script, I'm editing, you know, a scripted show, is there an export to this to, like, so I can come back to? Because obviously there's a lot of things if I was going to edit a scripted show that I'm not here.
Right, this isn't a full editing system. This is more for the producer or logger that doesn't need to actually have a Media Composer license. So they can actually be working in the web browser to review, to mark, to log, to create shot lists, and then send this to the editor for editorial.
And the editor can download it.
They can download it or link instantly to the media because all they're looking is a shot list, which is pointing to media, which is on Nexus.
But can this link into Media Composer installed in a system?
You can, actually. The previous slide I had the panel inside of Media Composer. So this whole panel will be available inside of Media Composer, so you can do searching and then drag from here into your project.
Okay.
So, with, yes. For instance, with your assistant editor, who's your librarian, prepping the dailies, et cetera, they would be working here, and then the editor would be able to find here the libraries that they want to work on.
Exactly. That they'd be able to pull in that? That's one workflow, absolutely.
Okay, So instead of the assistant editor having to do that workflow twice, because right now, for the most part, they do it on an Avid, and then they go to the daily system, and they have to move it. Now they can be prepping for the editor and for dailies in one.
Potentially correct. But the apps across the top here, you'll see we have one here, which is Woody. This is an ingest system. So the idea is we'll be able to open APIs so other people can create applications linking into this, whether they're ingesting, whether they're playing out, whether they're exporting. So this is just opening up a whole Pandora's box for people to be able to work in a web browser. Again, it could be in the edit bay, could be on-prem, could be off-prem, you know, depending on how you want
to
work.
And is this also going to be able to work with, because also the interplay systems that we've installed before are much more extensive than this, so how will they link?
Well, actually, Interplay, this is the new
Interplay, but this is still a lot different than the Interplays. I mean, there's much more options than the ones that we...
Absolutely. And actually, Interplay, I'm not allowed to say that anymore, so don't tell anyone I said that.
Okay, this is
Media Central is the new Interplay because, again, it's faster. It's a lot better quality because when you're working on Interplay, you are working with proxy. This is giving you a much better experience across the board.
Are there any watermarking capabilities?
We are looking at that as well. We know that, you know, security is an issue there. You can't download from this. You can't say export. From this, you can publish, but again, that's also a rights and user management.
So no download at all?
No download. Correct.
Do you know what the cost base is going to be? Like Bebop's like $10 an hour?
I don't know if we're doing hour. I think we're doing more license.
Licensing?
So you can have, you know, a pack of 5 or 10 licenses concurrent. So when somebody logs off, they pick up that license. Yes.
So piggybacking on this other question about Media Composer, you know, Media Central is basically replacing Interplay, but there's a lot of productions that probably wouldn't have an Interplay. They're just direct attached stores. So can you run the VM, Media Composer VM, or the cloud version of Media Composer just attached to the Nexus storage in the cloud, or do you need to have Media Central to enable that?
You can have Azure. There are, I think you can run it just off of a server as well. People are using other tools or Bebop to do that. It all depends on what sort of control you want to have, security, and cost. But, yeah, just wanted to give you a quick preview into stuff we're doing. I could go into all the different other products as well, but we'll go ahead.
Yeah,
I'll get it back again. There it is.
All right. Thank you, Michael. What we were looking at is what you can do right now, but there's a lot of stuff that's coming down the pike as, Avid does more integration work and development with Azure. You're going to see more of the workflows that you're used to operating in, more of the functionality of the full platform show up in various mechanisms and tools within Azure. Whether it's done on IaaS as encapsulated tools or as platform services down the road, You know, you're going to see the coupling and the integration between Avid and Azure, you know, just improve over time. And you know, one of the things that you're seeing is that you know, with a small device, it doesn't have to be a Surface. It could be an iPad. It, you know, you can even view this stuff on a phone if you're so inclined. But you know, it's giving you that portability and that access in a secure way to stuff that wasn't even conceivable before. You know, and that's going to extend to other elements of these workflows as well. So you know, being able to manage assets, be it, you know, and this is getting a little bit out of my expertise and you know, back to Michael's, but you know, these are the kinds of things that we'll be able to be coupled together with Azure's native services to you know, talk about speech to text, and you could use other AI services like sentiment analysis with facial recognition and create metadata and analysis systems to you know, to understand the content that you have and be able to make better use of it later.
No, I mean, absolutely. I mean, the whole idea is we're just opening up. We know there's some people who are saying we don't want to go to the cloud, but the cloud is here, and a lot of studios networks are looking to do it. It might not be for everything, but there's so many tools that can be used, and, I mean, just, you know, the remote capabilities, and as Joel mentioned, just with some of the facial recognition and the new things where a lot of times, you know, a logger doesn't have the time to go in and log something. As soon as a clip is there, to be able to have those metadata tags there for the faces, for the characters, for sounds, for offensive language, you know, it's pretty mind-blowing.
Yeah, and the, you know, the asset management capabilities that you'll inherit by having, you know, having tiered storage. So as you are working through a project and you no longer need you know, full resolution copies of assets that are not in use, those can be automatically shuffled off to you know, to longer term storage, or even you know, to completely ice cold storage that you know, you're done with it and it's being archived. You know, and all of that can be automated through the storage system without having to do you know, do anything special or invest $500,000 in a new tape library. So with that, what we're going to do is kind of tie it all together. And you know, we've seen the back end, we've seen the creative tools, but there's also the device side. So you know, being able to go from the creative person sitting and doing artwork or doing conceptualization all the way through to you know, the final production assets in the cloud and then playing back out through that same device. You know, we've been making a variety of investments, and you know, if you had a chance to stop by and see some of the things that we were showing off at our table upstairs, you know, new devices like the Studio, which have you know, multi-finger input with the dial and pen interface, the new Surface Book, which you know, puts not only the dial on your laptop, but you know, the tilt pen to assign different functions to you know, all of these other man-machine interfaces. So it really does, you know, give you, you know, give you a new set of tools to work with, and it really can just unlock new ways of doing things. But it's also secure because you know, things like the Surface Book 2, where it's got the TPM built into it, you know, for supporting BitLocker. It, you know, you can support biometric authentication with things like Windows Hello for you know, doing facial recognition. So these are all things that can make the overall, you know, content creator experience more secure, gives you more control as the administrator, but still you're not limiting their creativity, and that's really the key here is you want to let, you know, let people do what they do best and not, you know, not hem them in, but you don't want to open Pandora's box and give them, you know, free rein to do the kinds of stuff that unfortunately they're already doing. You want to get control of that. So with that, I know the only reason that you're still here.
Two more PowerPoint.
I mean, yeah.
I'm here for the first aid kit.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm pretty. You know, I'm realistic. I know where my value lies. Okay. Did everybody get their card into this bowl? I think there was another bowl out here, but
No.
No, there's not.
I think your chances of getting something.
I hope I win.
You had to be present.
Well, you must be present. Okay, there you go. Okay, but I think I have to do this a little bit like a reality show, and you know we'll do drawings for a few smaller things first. to be fully transparent as we are in the cloud, I'll let one of my guests who wants to be the first to pick out a card. That way I can't be biased.
They can pick out their own card.
Go ahead, pick one.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody that didn't put a card in.
Oh, someone.
Okay, so we have Paul Castillo. Who is Paul?
That's me.
Castillo. All right, so how about a stack of...
I got the drawing, but not the surface.
Oh, what you're getting?
You get stuff.
You get stuff. All right. Oh, no, I got one of those in my hand. Okay. How about a couple of these things?
Oh, cool. First aid kit as well. Thank you.
Yeah. We'll do a couple more bundles here, and then we'll have the create stuff in this moment. Okay. Pick a card.
Oh, yeah.
Laura Hammer.
That's me.
All right.
Tell me the surface.
What's that?
Oh,
no, no,
oh,
sorry.
I need a computer. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay, I won't drag it out anymore. So, just to prove, you know, it's all legit. We have here. A brand new, untouched Surface Pro 4, retail value, I think, $16.99, so this is the full meal deal. Thank you to the Surface marketing team for hooking us up for that, and the keyboard to go with it. All right. Who's it going to be?
Get that red card right there.
Well, I'm not going to look because that would be favorite for them. It is.
No.
No.
Anthony from Paramount.
Oh.